Ephesians chapter 4. Anything else that serves as a reason for why we do things won't sustain us. It's got to be for God's glory. And I trust that that's the motivation in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 4. Just give me a few minutes tonight and we'll finish up. We're picking up where we left off, if you would, at verse number 24. We'll get down to 27. That you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray, God, you'd help me and use me. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for the Bible. And may we read it and heed it. May the Bible not be an obscure and overlooked truth-revealing testament. May it be open and obvious. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Cleanse me, empty me, fill me. Do a work. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're dealing with the issues in this part of Ephesians that follow the first part of the book. We began the first part of the book with the Christian life as it pertains to its blessings and our beliefs. I'm glad that we that are Christians understand we believe right. If you don't believe right, you certainly can't behave right. Amen. So the first part of the section of Ephesians deals with our blessings and our beliefs. And then we get into chapter number 3 and 4, and we begin to deal with the behavior of the Christian life and what we used to be and now who we are in Christ and how we ought to behave. You don't just want someone to talk faith. We want somebody to walk faith. Amen. And so as we deal with chapter number 4, we're dealing with the fact that the Christian life is a life of walking worthy. Walking worthy, if we believe those things, and if we've been blessed in that way, we heard sung this morning, we're blessed, then our behavior should be one that is walking worthy. Our walk should be becoming of Christianity. It should be that which demonstrates Christianity. It should be that which is harmonious with the Bible, that which mirrors the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't walk worthy, if you would, in our member relationships, and then in the second part of the chapter, walk worthy in our moral relationships. We saw the total deliverance that you and I have experienced when we got saved. By the way, I'm glad that when you got saved, you got delivered. Amen. You don't have to be strung out on drugs or dying by alcohol or messed up in some addiction to be delivered. If you got saved, you've been delivered. Amen. Delivered from sin. Delivered from hell. Delivered from the curse. By the way, the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and one day the presence of sin. In the meantime, we ought to be delivered from the practice of sin. Amen. No question about it. We've been delivered. We have a changed life. We've been delivered. Our changed life to have a corresponding look. Amen. The corresponding look there in Ephesians chapter 4 is this. We are putting off some things. There's a sinful removal. Amen. God saves you, but it's your job to put off some things. Amen. You say, well, I thought salvation wasn't works. It wasn't. Putting off is not what saves you. Amen. Getting Christ in is what saves you. And getting Christ in, saving you, gives you the power to get the wrong stuff off. Amen. Sinful removal. Spiritual renewal. That should be renewed in your mind. We said last week, a couple weeks ago, you will lose the battle in the Christian life if you lose the battle in your mind. Young people, you got to be renewed in your mind. You have to fight spiritual warfare mentally every single day. And by the way, you win the battle mentally, spiritually. Amen. I'm not talking about pill taking. I'm not about talking about squeezing a stress ball. And I'm not talking about yoga. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God working in our lives
speaking to us, leading us, guiding us, directing us, convicting us, reproving us, and my friend, lighting up the truth of the Word of God, illuminating our eyes so that we can understand the Bible and our mind being renewed every day. Every day. Sinful removal, spiritual renewal, supernatural replacement. You got to put off, but guess what? You got to put something on. So God doesn't want us just to get rid of some things. God wants us to replace those things. And that's a holy transformation. We have a new man, which is created in the image of Jesus Christ, righteousness and true holiness. So we have a holy transformation. Last week, we dealt with, if you would, the honest tongue. When you get the new man on you, you got to quit that lying. Lying and the new man don't go together. So when you're saved and you're still lying, you are living out what you used to be, even though you're not that anymore. All right? So it's like the prison doors being open and the guard saying you can leave, and you deciding, even though the door's open, I want to stay in the cell. So the Christian life that's generated by and characterized by lying is a life that does not mirror the new man. So very quickly, we look at that holy transformation and that honest tongue. But tonight I want to touch on this third part of the new man, which I call a harnessed temper. A harnessed temper. Now here's what God's saying. Let me tell you one of the characteristics of a new man. Self-control. Watch it now. Losing it. To be a Christian and lose it emotionally is not a characteristic of the new man. All right, now come on now. Some of you are getting quiet now. But you can't be just liking the parts you know how to live. All scriptures give my inspiration of God. All scriptures give my inspiration of God. And it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, woman, boy, or girl may be perfect, not sinless, mature, fully furnished. Amen. God said, I ain't saving you and just give you an empty house. I'm saving you and giving a Bible so you can furnish that house. Fully furnished. Furnished for what? Good works. And what are those, some of those good works? Harnessed temper. Now watch it, Christian people. I'm telling you right now. You cross me. That's not Christian. I'm going to tell you right now. You're getting right close up. I've had it right up to here. And if you push me over the limit right now, that's not Christian. A harnessed temper. Let me take about the next 7 minutes or so and deal with three quick things about this temper. Notice the first three words of verse number 26. Look there if you would. And let's read them together. The first three words of verse 26. Say it. Say it again. Be ye angry. Is that a command? You scared to answer? Be ye angry. Is that a command? I'll answer it. The Greek phrase, be ye angry, is in the imperative. In the Greek, it means, it's the word orgizo. It literally means be angry. Here's what God is ordering us to be angry. Really? Yeah. About sin. You say, well, I read this verse and thought God was telling me not to be angry. No. You should be angry. Sin. It's called righteous indignation. It's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 3 when he called people vipers and he got on the scribes. And what he did in Matthew 22 and other places where he called them open sepulchers. And he told them they keep people out of heaven. And theirs is the greater damnation. Hey, he said, be ye angry. It's what he did in Matthew 21. When they had made the house of God, instead of being a house of prayer, a den of thieves. And lively Jesus that touched the leper and cleansed him. And spit in the clay and made the blind men see. And raised Lazarus back to life. And told them, you better not stone that woman unless you without sin. Lively, meek-minded Jesus walked in the temple, flipped tables, lay hands on people. That's the Jesus you like, right, Bert Dunn? I love it when Jesus lay hands on people and throw them out. Yes! but over sin. Be angry. It's in the imperative. God is saying, be angry. But he's saying, and sin not. See, anger has a place. Anger's place in the life of a Christian is directed towards sin. I think that one of the characteristics of the new man that Christians tend to leave out is hatred for sin. Now, you can tell everybody in this world, now that I gotten saved, I've stopped doing a lot of things. But if you're licking your lips trying to get back to them every single day, it won't be long before you do. So God is not only saving you from doing wrong, God is saving you from wanting to do wrong. Be ye angry. And by the way, that's a process. That's the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, being filled with the Spirit and allowing Him to control us. Be ye angry. That's anger's place. But there's an adamant prohibition. And sin not. What is the word sin? Hamartano it is in the Greek. It means to miss the mark. All have what? Sin and come what? Short of glory. So as hard as we try to live up to God's standard, we miss the mark. What's the mark? Perfection. The only one person can live it. That's Jesus. That's why we need Him living inside of us in order to go to heaven. Because otherwise, there ain't not enough good in us to get there on our own. So here's what He's saying. When you get mad, make sure that you getting mad or you getting angry doesn't get so far out of control you miss the mark. In other words, you can borrow the anger of Jesus in Matthew 21, but you cannot use it to cross the line. So ask yourself tonight, how many times have you gotten mad about something that was legitimate? But what you did based on that anger was not legitimate. You crossed the line. You crossed the line. And you justified it by going, if someone had done that to you, you'd have reacted the same way. And you justified it and go, but they did me wrong. And you justified it and go, but I deserve better than that. And you justified it and said, but you really hurt my feelings. And you justified it and said, nobody has ever said that to me before. And you justified it and said, I was genuinely offended inside. And you justified it and said, you violated Scripture. But you crossed the line. He says, be angry. Oh, yeah, I want you angry at sin. But don't sin while you do it. By the way, isn't it counterproductive to be mad at sin and sin as a result of being mad at it? Now, listen to me. Isn't it ridiculously foolish to get mad at someone who says something unkind to us and to respond to their unkind words with unkind words? I have found that some of the most sensitive people about people saying things to them react in an insensitive way after insensitive words are said. So you're not in the spirit when you respond wrongly to someone else's wrong. Okay? So it says, be ye angry and sin not. The adamant prohibition is not to sin. Psalm 4:4. Stand in awe. And sin not. Can you be in the presence of God and tolerate foolishness? No. But it should be that same fear of God that makes you hate sin, that makes sure that while hating it, you don't sin. And then there's one more part I want you to look at, the avoided provocation. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The word wrath there is paragizmos, which literally means provocation. Wrath, it's to be provoked. It's to burst. It's to break fellowship. He says, don't be so angry about sin that unkept, the anger boils into wrath. And by boiling into wrath, you burst into provocation Watch this now. And by being provoked by wrath, you break fellowship with God. And here's how he says this happens. When you get angry about something and take too long to deal with it.
Let not the sun.
We teach this in marriage about working out your problems daily. Right? How many of you know that's not always convenient? Come on, keep it real. It's not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. It's not always preferential. But the longer you stay angry about something and not resolving it, the more you are provoking yourself to break fellowship with God. So here's what he's saying. Fix it fast. And he ain't just talking about marriage, because we're good to use it for marriage. But he's talking about Christianity, period. And shame on church members that have been mad with other church members for a long time and done nothing about it. Because the sin you're mad at someone for doing to you, you have exceeded the length of time of their sin by how long you've been sinning, staying mad. They sinned against you one time way back then, and you're sinning every day. You don't get it right. Sounds like you're the bigger sinner. And our natural tendency when wronged is to respond in kind. He said, be careful. That's the new man's got to learn how to get over it. And by the way, you can only get over it by dealing with it. There are two principles. Love covers it, which means I love you so much, I let it go. Or Matthew 18, I'm so offended, I have to confront you. But the third part, the third one, I don't love you enough to let it go. I am offended, but I ain't going to confront you because I don't feel like fooling with you. That's not an option, okay? That's not in the Bible. So you either have to cover it, and by covering it, you can't be still mad. Love cover it means I'm done with it. So if you're not done with it, then you have to confront it. You're not confronting it, and you're not done with it. You're living in sin. All right, I'm finished. See you in 3 weeks. I think this is where we all, I don't think there's a person in this building that doesn't need to work on this. Starting from me on down. We all get upset. But when we get upset and get wrathful and don't deal with it, we not only sin against the person, we sin against God. And nobody in this room is happy angry. You could listen to me. You may be content to be angry, but you are never happy when you're angry. And by the way, you cannot please God while you're in the midst of wrath. You can't do it. Okay, listen, you can pick up your Bible and read the whole book. You can get down on your knees and pray the whole prayer list. You have done nothing good if you don't deal with your wrath. And the longer you take to deal with it, the harder it is to fix it. The new man's got to do better than that, because Jesus lives inside. Our Father, thank you for your precious word. We need help in this area. Sure we do. We pray by your grace that you would help us. We all get angry. And sometimes we're even angry about the right stuff. But if we don't deal with it, it bursts. We miss the mark. We cross the line. We break fellowship with God. And that, God, is unacceptable. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.